Well, faith doesn't become strong when it's passively enjoying life, but when it's actively facing really hard times. If you think about the time that somebody that you loved died, how you responded to that. When we come to this context of Scripture and we've come to this critical point in Abraham's life when he must face the death of his wife Sarah. And the death of Sarah is a dominant theme of this chapter because it opens with a focus on her death and it ends with us looking at her burial. Abraham and Sarah had been together for 100 years. We know that when Sarah left Ur with Abraham, she was 65 years old, 10 years younger than Abraham. And Genesis 12:4, so she's gone from her homeland for 62 years. And so minus the 127 minus 65, if we assume she married Abraham when she was in her 20s, they've been married at least 100 years. She had been Abraham's companion in his life, his lover, his friend. She was at Abraham's side in good times. She was at Abraham's side bad times. She recognized that he was a special man. And of course, she was the mother of his son. We know from 1 Peter 3:4-6 that she was gentle, quiet, respectful woman. And you don't replace a godly woman with that. You just don't. And so this is a big loss to Abraham. His dear wife is gone. And not only was her death a major test of faith, but now he's forced to make a decision concerning where he should bury her. In view of the fact that God promised he would give him this promised land. And so Abraham's faith continues to obey and believe God because he believed that God would fulfill his promises even when he was faced with this hard circumstance like the death of his loved one. It doesn't run away. This faith doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It just keeps trusting God. And he's forced to face the death of his spouse. Look at her age at death. Verse 1 of chapter 23 of Genesis. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah is the only woman in Scripture whose age of death is stated. This shows how important a woman she was. Sarah was 127 years old when she died. But she did eventually die because death is part of the curse. And sooner or later, we all die. Look at her place of death in verse 2. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. That word Kiriath means a city, and the word Arba means a giant or four. This was the old name of the city because before it was named Hebron, which had been named after a giant warrior whose name was Arba. Arba was the father of the Anakin giants, and the stress is that Sarah died here in the heart of the promised land. And we see Sarah's impact at death. You see, life was not all roses for Abraham in obeying God. He had to give up his homeland. He had to give up Lot. He had to give up Ishmael. He had to give up Sarah. And Abraham loved Sarah. And even though there had been moments of strain in their relationship, he was a hurting man when she died. That Hebrew word mourn indicates that Abraham suffered great emotional grief to the point of lamenting, wailing, and even beating his chest. The word weep indicates that Abraham was shedding tears to the extent that he could be heard very far away. Abraham was a hurting man, and Scripture says it took months before Isaac was comforted in view of his mother's death. Well, let's look at some of these things here. The the request of Abraham, beginning at verse 3 and 4. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. You see, the sons of Heth were Canaanites in what they were descendants of Canaan and Hittites because they were in Heth. When Sarah died, Abraham was in the land surrounded by Canaanites, and Hebron was controlled by these sons of Heth. When Abraham makes a request for that burial spot, he refers to himself as a sojourner, a stranger. These nouns have both physical and spiritual application. The word stranger describes a foreigner who is living out of his country. The word sojourner describes one who is not a naturalized citizen. What this means, at the present time, Abraham had no legal right to any of this Hittite land. So Abraham's request for a burial site is based on the belief that someday this land would be the land he could call home. And we know from Hebrews 11:8 that Abraham viewed himself as a spiritual stranger and a sojourner as well. Look at the response of these Canaanites in verse 5 and 6. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my Lord, you are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. And the Canaanites offered Abraham the choice of any land he wanted. In fact, the Hebrew words, a mighty prince, literally read a prince of Elohim, which indicates they recognize Abraham holds a royal position in the family of God. And look at Abraham's response, or his reaction, beginning of verse 7. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me from Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. And so Abraham was a humble man, and the fact that he bowed to the Canaanites demonstrates that he treated others with dignity and respect, esteem, and honor. It shows that even when someone that you know and love dies, that doesn't permit you to not have manners, to not treat people with respect. And these people responded well to him. The cave of Machpelah was located in the end of a field owned by Ephron, the son of Zohar. Ephron was a Hittite, and Abraham was willing to pay the full price for this property. Look at verse 10 as we wrap up the chapter. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of his city, No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, But if you will hear me, I give the price of the field, accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites. 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was at the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for burying place by the Hittites. And so you see the care that is given to his wife after she has passed. God takes life seriously, and he takes death seriously. And we have here a husband who has cared for his wife throughout her life, and now he cares for her in her death. At times like this, it's really careful. We need to be careful in how we talk to people, how we treat people, because we are made in the image of God. And just this chapter shows a tenderness of the response of even those that are outside the family of God. And you're going to find that at times, that sometimes the most compassionate people are those that are watching and wanting to care for those that are part of the family of God. Let's treat each other graciously and with respect, because that's been modeled to us by this person called the friend of God.